I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Without further ado, let's bring in Dave Burkett, Lions beat writer from the Detroit Free Press, for a live appearance here on the program. We don't do a lot of live interviews, but what the hell? Hey, Dave, hey. How you doing?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
Happy I can be one of your live interviews.
That's
always
true.
A pleasure. To guys.
You know, we need you to help us with a bit of a mystery. We do not know Muehlbach playing defensive line. We were just looking at his career stats. He has a QB hit. He has a QB hit, a tackle for loss, and a forced fumble. Huh. Do you remember this?
You got me very confused there. I have no recollection of that whatsoever. Maybe somebody mistakenly gave, you know, a 48 some stats for a 98, because I certainly don't remember that.
Oh, okay.
I like that theory.
Yeah, sure. That would make some sense.
And you probably agree, Dave, that there's no way Don Muehlbach deserves to be second on a list of the top four number 48s of all time of any Michigan sport athletes. Certainly not ahead of Percy Snow or Kenny Willekes or Rick Porcello.
No. I mean, look, you know, Percy Snow had a great career, obviously. I know you know that. Gator is a Michigan State fan, right? I didn't hear the results. Did he win this morning?
He finished second.
No.
Second, okay.
No, Gerald Ford won.
Oh, okay. Yep. That makes sense.
Which is fine, but Don Muehlbach finished second.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is no offense to Don, because obviously fantastic long snapper, long career, but I think that's just some recency bias, love for the long snapper that maybe doesn't equate with, some of the other guys on your list.
So,
that's
Dave,
take.
Is this Detroit Lions team about to get themselves in the playoff chase?
Man, you know, that is a question I've wrestled with here the last couple of days, because, you look at the schedule coming up, and it's certainly manageable, right? I mean, I don't think this game this weekend is going to be as easy as some people do, but, you know, the games they have between now and Thanksgiving, one team with a winning record on their schedule, and if you fashion yourself as a playoff contender, these are all games that you should win, or you know, 5-1, I guess, would be acceptable. And if that's the case, then that's where, you know, the edict from last winter comes in, where you're playing meaningful games in December. You know, I sort of wrote this the other day, like Sheila Ford in June, when she took over the team, you know, she sort of, I don't want to say changed the bar, but, you know, she said she needed to see major improvement. And I don't know that just being in the playoff hunt, you know, by beating up on bad teams qualifies major improvement. You know, I think you got to do something with those December games too. So yes, I can see them being in the playoff hunt with the schedule that they have in front of them, but I still am not buying them as a good NFL football team.
Well, you look at that stretch starting with the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I think it's Carolina, and then you got Houston, and then the schedule gets really tough, as you said. You've got Tampa on the list. You've got Green Bay again on the list. And, you know, Chicago has been better than anybody wants to give them credit for. It feels like this sets up for your quintessential Lions season, where it's, you know, Lucy taking the football away from Charlie Brown. You get your hopes up, and then, oh, here come the last 6, 7, 8 games of the season, not a chance.
Yeah, Tampa and Tennessee, you know, in the mix in December too. So, I mean, there's four games in December there, where I think it's the Packers, the Bears, the Titans, and the Bucks, where all four of those teams could be playoff teams, you know. And even if I think the Bears are maybe a little bit fraudulent, like, they're still going to have a good record, and they're still better than most of these teams coming up here the next month. So, you know, I think the Lions, they should be able to win most of these games here the next 6 weeks. And if they don't, I mean, you know, that you can write off this regime. You know, I think that's just a fact. If they do, I still think they have something to prove in that last month of the season. But they need to take care of business here over the next couple of weeks, you know, in order to get that chance.
I want to circle back to write off this regime later, but we're getting close to the trade deadline. Do you expect a Lion to get traded?
Well, I mean, Bob Quinn's history is that he's certainly willing to make deals at the deadline. I don't know who it would be off the top of my head, and given the fact that they are sort of in this must-win mode. I don't know that you're trading someone for future draft picks, you know, like we've seen in the past couple seasons. But yeah, I mean, you know, just going by the history of it, you know, Bob Quinn has been very active with in-season deals, so. I do think he'll be calling around at the very least, you know, assuming the Lions keep their head above water here this week to see if there's something that he can do to upgrade his team. Maybe, you know, another pass rusher. Maybe there's somebody out there on one of those really bad teams that's going to be a free agent or something that the Lions could go get.
So interesting. You don't think they're moving Jared Davis or Marvin Jones or even Matthew Stafford. You think they're more likely to add a piece to help them win than move somebody along?
Yeah, I mean, look, I just don't know what value a Marvin Jones or a Jared Davis has at this point. You know, I mean, Matthew Stafford would have a lot of value, but I don't see any way possible that they're – look, here's the deal, right? If you're in contention or you think you're going to be in contention, you're not trading Matthew Stafford. And if you're not in contention, you know, that's a move that would have to be okayed by ownership. There's no way that Sheila Fordham would sign off on saying, yeah, go ahead and trade this quarterback when maybe Bob Quinn is not your general manager next year. So I don't think there's any way they trade Matthew Stafford. The other guys, certainly I could see them trading them. I just don't know that any team is going to come pounding on their door to try to get them and see them as being a difference maker that's going to push them over the top this year.
So real quick, sorry, Gator, but there's 0% chance that Jerry Jones goes crazy uncle, you know, bourbon-soaked phone call in the middle of the night and offers up that Herschel Walker deal to go get him.
Well, it is Jerry Jones, so let's say a non-zero chance. I mean, I guess it happened with Roy Williams, right? Like, Mark Mayhew came out in 2008 and said, yeah, we're not trading Roy Williams, and that was really a smoke signal saying, hey, come and get him, and then Jerry went and gave up a first-round pick for him. So never say never, but I would be absolutely stunned if the Lions traded Matthew Stafford.
Speaking of Marvin Jones, Is the slow start for him, is that due to lack of play creativity, like maybe Bevel would like to indicate, or is it because he, frankly, isn't getting open?
Yeah, I think there's a couple factors there. I mean, I think, you know, Marvin at age 30 is maybe not the receiver that he was a couple years ago. I mean, as Bevel said, you know, he's still doing some other things that really benefit this team, you know, blocking, running some of the decoy routes, just doing some of the dirty work things that don't show up in the stats, but you know, Marvin was never a huge separation guy before. And now you look at the makeup of this Lions offense, and certainly Kenny Galladay's the number one receiver. You know, TJ Hockenson has played some pretty good football. You know, he's sort of emerged as the number two target, I guess. DeAndre Swift has been a weapon out of the backfield. So I just think in the pecking order, you know, Marvin has dropped down a peg or two. And, you know, frankly, with the Lions receiving corps, you know, there's some other guys, Marvin Hall and his deep speed, Jamal Agnew with some of the things that he can do, that I'd like to see those guys get a few more opportunities, you know, and maybe it comes at the expense of a Marvin Jones or a Danny Amendola, the vets that we've seen that have been good throughout their careers, but, you know, maybe there's limited upside there.
Yeah, and just to expand on that, and going back to the whole trade deadline thing, if – because I'm with you, and I think we're all with you. We'd all like to see more Marvin Hall and give the playmakers a chance to make plays, like Agnew as well. And you mentioned at the expense of Marvin Jones or Danny Amendola. There are teams out there that could use a wide receiver at the trade deadline. Those seem like those would be decent options, veteran players that can get the job done. But you still don't think that's a possibility?
Well, no, I think you're right about that, Gator, that you know, maybe especially a guy like an Amendola, right, where – you know, he's a vet, you know, he could still, I mean, if you throw him the balls, depending on where he ranks in your, you know, your priority list, I guess, as an offense, you know, that slot position, you know, he could still be a very productive receiver. He just hasn't had a lot of balls thrown his way here. So, you know, maybe there is an opportunity here in the next couple of weeks and give Bob Quinn credit. You know, he's kept six receivers, and maybe that's not, you know, standard around the NFL, but maybe he sees some value there and he sees the future a little bit, that maybe I'm underestimating the potential for a trade with one of those guys, and that some other NFL team will want to go out and get one of them.
What do we make of this defense? Philosophically, the lack of a pass rush, the less than stellar coverage. I mean, philosophically, it's such a hard buy-in for people because they just give up chunks of yardage and points, and yet they seem totally committed to it.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I mean, I think we've probably talked about this before at some point the last couple of years. Like, I sort of like the way the Lions operated the defense of old, right? Get after the quarterback and win with your front. And they don't do that as much. And I understand philosophically, right? We want to be able to compete against every type of team. So we want these players that can do a whole bunch of good things. But right now they don't have any defensive player that can do anything great. And that's really what they need. You know, you need some difference makers like that, some guys that can really impact the game as a pass rusher, as a lockdown corner, as something. And they just don't have that right now. So I'm with you. I went back and for my film study this week, I watched, you know, all the defensive snaps and their pass rush. And I thought they did some good things and they changed some personnel up, but I came away thinking, you know what, they still have guys that don't win a lot of one-on-one, you know, battles consistently. And when they play better quarterbacks, they're probably going to go back to the thing that we've seen the last couple of years where they're a little more passive and they don't take some of these chances that they do blitzing people from all angles. So I don't know how sustainable the pass rush from the other day was.
What about the smoke that came out, or maybe was just it? Was it just smoke on Sunday with Jason Lock on 4 from CBS Sports with his column about Patricia under a win or else edict for that specific game? If they hadn't beaten the Jaguars, he could be fired. Is that something that could continue again this week, or was it just, you know, him throwing something against a wall?
No, I mean, you know, I guess where there's smoke, there's fire, right? And he did say that ownership had not expressed, you know, exactly that they had to win or they would be gone. But I think the general sentiment is, you know, that it's been another disappointing start to the season. And, you know, look, you know, like it or not, I mean, the when you guys talk on the radio, when we write things in the paper and the fans talk, I mean, that stuff gets back to ownership. They know how people feel. And you know, maybe they share some of those beliefs. And so I think, yeah, there's certainly the heat has been turned up on both Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. I think it's maybe a little bit more on Patricia. But yeah, I look, had they lost, I would have thought that would have been a game against a very bad Jacksonville team that there was no coming back from, whether they fired them Monday after the game or waited, you know, another month. And I don't think Atlanta is quite the same. I mean, the Falcons are a better team talent wise. They're a lot like the Lions in that way, that they underachieve and they can't win some of these games, but they have a really good offense. So I don't know if it's the exact same. But certainly I think these next six games, as we talked about, will determine the future or help determine the future for this regime.
Well, that answered my question about, you know, is the decree from atop Mount Lyon still etched in stone, compete for the playoffs or else? And it sounds like it is. So, Dave, thank you for your time. We will talk again soon. And the rare 97.1 Carson Anderson interview. I like it.
You got it, guys. We'll talk to you again.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.